disgusting.
Why? It's not a real fart. I was making it with my mouth. Just like I make vaginas out of my hand.
Ew. Oh, my God.
Everyone at his Papa's basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. But I didn't say that. Howard threw his voice. He said the dirty part.
Everybody can tell now that you put this on YouTube that you're lying.
That is true. Yeah, okay, I'm dead to rights. If you go to youtube.com/papasbasement, you can see I am the guy who talked about crafting a canal of some sort from his digits. I am here today with Howard Flood. Who doesn't love Howard?
Yeah, I try to come when I can.
That's what she said. Sorry, my man Josh over here said he was just watching a ton of Office on Comedy Central. Because, you know, they don't have anything better they could do, like, I don't know, developing young talent.
There's been no comedy since The Office went off air. That's the trick.
It died, yeah. It's really like when Kennedy had his brains blown out and the nation was just in mourning. And then before you know it, it's like Nixon time and it's just all death. Yeah. Josh over here, let's bring it down a touch. Josh over here is from The Prompt. Look at us introducing things and things.
That was so smooth and professional.
I have my moments. Slowly potting down the music, too.
Easily the best introduction by someone who just talked about their hand vagina.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to associate your product with that. Yeah.
People, it is what you make of it. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, people are going to clench their fist to themselves and then be like, The Prompt. Like, they're that Pavlovian association.
That's like a, yeah, okay, we'll take it. We'll take any, we'll just take associations
like,
right now.
Yeah, most people would type with their left hand, like, X-Tube after that, but they're going to be like, The Prompt.
Before you go, to, you know, RedTube, go to The Prompt. Or after.
Yeah.
Just equal. If we could get as many hits as they get, we would be great.
I would literally trade all the traffic I've had in a decade for 1 second of, like, X-Hamster. Like, just do that math. I mean, Christ, the downloads I give him alone. Like, that would put anything I've ever experienced.
You just spend all the time on your own stuff.
yeah, exactly. If I somehow coded pornography into my website, we would just be perfect. Do you want to explain The Prompt at all?
Yeah, The Prompt is it's a blog or an online magazine, depending on who you ask. But it's a website, if you ask me. We do writing, creative writing, humor writing, topical writing. The sort of catch with The Prompt is every other week we have a writing prompt, something that, you know, you hear and you can then, everyone can take it their own way down their own road. And it's kind of interesting to see, you know, where all the pieces come out to and how different they are. And sometimes how similar, but, that's the fun part for us. And then we, you know, if you free write, you'll read some other random stuff up there too.
Your prompt, is it last week's prompt or this week's prompt that is Knock Knock?
Knock Knock is for the next week. We are just starting. Actually,
so I'm ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you're ahead of the curve. You're ahead of the curve. We are doing
What a Sucker.
What a Sucker.
What a Sucker. I like his pronunciation better. It's more street.
It is.
The kids like the street.
Yeah, we're a very suburban blog right now. So we're going with ER on the end.
Sucker and proper.
What a Sucker. Yeah, it started today. That's the new prompt. And it'll probably last like a week or two. And then, next week I think it'll be Knock Knock.
You told me it was Knock Knock. And do you know the direction I went with it? You probably thought I was being facetious when I tweeted you guys back. My favorite couples that beat each other. My favorite fictional couples that beat each other.
Now, does it only qualify if the beating goes both ways?
Yeah. Like, I didn't think it was as funny if it's just like...
Just domestic abuse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just like a woman being beaten savagely for 30 minutes. Like, what was that Julia Roberts film? You know what I'm talking about. No.
Drawn a Blank Man.
91. Something like that. She was just...
Pretty Woman, right? You're talking about Pretty Woman.
Yeah, where George. George Costanza savagely beats her in one scene.
I forgot about that.
That's the prequel. That's the origin story of how she got to be.
To get that winning smile to hide the pain. Oh, God. This is Sleeping with the Enemy.
Okay.
Oh, look at me. 45 seconds late, but that's comedy, right? That works. Yeah. No, nothing like that.
Nothing. Okay. Yeah. That makes it more funny that it's not just a one-way street.
One of my picks was Kevin Nealon and... Tim Meadows as Ike Turner beating each other on SNL.
Thank you.
So that will be done in the next day or two. You kind of doomed yourself by saying I have 2 weeks to write it. Now you're going to get
2 weeks.
13 days, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, is this still The Prompt?
Yeah, and the cool thing is, you know, if people, if they like what they're reading, if they think they can join the conversation, they want the conversation, they can. They can submit their own stuff.
Someone's an NPR man over here.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what's the cool part about it. We're always accepting entries and submissions.
Right. But mine are more important.
But yours are the most.
Thank you. And you can just post, you can put like any episode of this on the site. If you're ever hurting for content, just wholesale copy my code.
All right.
From Papa's Basement. Just put it there. I don't care. Howard's rolling his eyes right now. He's like, that's probably bad for analytics or whatever. Google rankings. No, just take it.
Click through, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Just the backlinks. A lot of black hat stuff, I think, is the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Boost our numbers. So the last couple of days, we got a lot to talk about. Friday, I don't know about you guys, but I experienced a hellish windstorm, as did much of the East Coast. I don't know if you were out of town or you were somehow in a part of the city that was not affected by it. But it was, it looked like trees were getting ripped from their roots, and we were kind of praying for the end. What was it like for you guys?
It did feel like as close to the beginning of Wizard of Oz as I've ever been.
Thank you.
It was crazy. I was in the city. I was in D.C. and had no damage, luckily. Car was fine. Branches all around were okay. Flying everywhere, but no major hits, but it was freaking crazy. I felt like I was being blown into the street when I was walking.
For whatever reason, the windstorms stick out in my head way more than blizzards. I don't know why. The couple of just freakish windstorms we've had, these nor'easters as they're called. I remember the last one, my power was out for like 2 days and my ex-girlfriend was over and it was in the dead of summer. And the only place in my little hovel that wasn't a baking hellhole was like the floor of the living room. And we just had to sleep there like grade school sleepover style, which is an apt analogy because it was my mom's house.
Head to toe. Is that grade school style?
Yeah, exactly. So your genitals
still line up.
Still line up. Damn it. Howard, anything good happen on your end?
I mean, it's weird for me because I really didn't go out a whole lot that day. I was just with the kid that day, so it ended up the only funny thing that happened was the wind started picking up late Thursday. And so, you know, my daughter woke us up. She just has a problem going to bed, and then like I hear this wind blowing and I looked at her bassinet and it's right by the window.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you should be careful with windows because trees can fall through them. And it's just like, I'm so pissed at her right now. I'm just going back to bed.
I'm sorry. Like, the instant you brought up your kid, like, I just picture you buying a really large kite and, like, reconsidering fatherhood. Just like, I could do this. Just, whee!
No, I'm too cheap for that. You know, my baby looks white, so
that's true.
I could totally get like high dollar for that. They wouldn't even know she was a quarter Korean.
Until it's too late. To borrow one from Richard Pryor. Damn, ain't your eyes ever going to round out? Oh, my God. These nor'easters are a great moneymaker for me as a locksmith because there's two things that happen. One, people's doors get ripped off of their hinges. And so I get to reinstall those and repair them. I'm working on a couple of those where I've just had them locked for like half of a week. I'm like, I'll get to you when I get to you. No one's robbing your shop. And the other thing that happens, I don't know if you guys do this. I rarely live in houses with garages, but so I have a key and I always take a key with me. I cannot tell you how many people cruise with like no key, just their garage door opener. And an unlocked garage door, like inside, you know, the house door is unlocked. And when the power goes out, they're like, please let us in. They have no means.
They just don't. Yeah. They gave up keys.
They gave up keys. They have the car key and the opener's in the vehicle, but that's it. And so they just.
That's a recent phenomenon just because of like the keyless ignition. I think that's more of a recent thing. Or did you notice this before that became popular feature on cars?
Oh, no. It's happened before. Like, people are just lazy. They don't want that damn house key. But, like, the power goes down, man, and I can make a killing. Like, I jack my prices like a complete piece of crap. I'm a locksmith. I didn't explain that. For those that don't listen regularly, my day job is locksmith. And, I am my own boss. Like, it's my company. So if you call me late, I'm just like, I'm going to say, like, a horrible quote. And if you say yes to it, it's worth me getting out of bed.
Yeah, what that number is to get you out.
Exactly. It really is that. Like, you call me at 11 p.m., I'm like, yeah, it's like 180. And, like, if you say yes, I'm like, I guess. You know, like, that's the day's kill right there, sure.
That's something we're all familiar with now. It's called surge pricing. I think that's
yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's like, have I taken my shower? Have I taken my bath and is Netflix on for the evening? Well, then you're paying. But these doors go down, and I have to let people in left and right. Like, anytime that power's off for a sustained amount of time, it's just amazing for me. I had one of me, I would say like my second biggest OS, you can fill in the rest of it, OSHI. I don't know why I'm talking like I'm five on my show all of a sudden. I'm just too lazy to go back and bleep me dropping the S-bomb here. I had my second biggest like OS moment as a locksmith this Friday. Or this previous Friday during the Nor'easter, I got some lady, somehow her system goes down. She's got like twins and her grandma and I don't know who the hell else in their car. Like the entire family is in this car. The husband's called me out and I'm feeling like a hero. I somehow get past a locked doorknob and a deadbolt that both like had this anti-picnic technology on them. And I'm like, oh, look man. At me, my God. Like, do you want me to slam the door with my penis? Because it's prehensile and huge right now. So in the process of me opening the door, the deadbolt is open. Like, it's extended. I'm working on her door. And in this, like, little subterranean basement, I get him in through the downstairs. It's like a wind tunnel. And I had noticed once or twice that the door was just randomly tugged with a massive amount of force. I'm like, easy there, buddy. I'm calming down pile. Easy, Leonard. Easy, man. I kind of get distracted for roughly a second or two. And the deadbolt extended gets whipped shut. And this house is made so poorly that the giant wall next to the door does not account for the deadbolt being extended. Ooh. Does not have that amount of space and cuts through this wall like a knife Ooh. Through hot butter. Like just Wolverine being a dick and defacing. Like just... And I was just like, oh my God, did this just goddamn... Happen? Like just an 8-inch rake of pure hole
like
and
Lazy Zorro.
Yeah, exactly. Just... like nothing amazing. Just deadbolt width. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that just happened. And it's this horrible thing where, like, you're thinking to yourself, I could have charged more. I got in two locks, not just one. I'm tagging an extra 30 on this. I'm the hero. And you just watch these dollars drop out. You're like, I might have to just not charge them. I don't know how this is going to work. Like, the occasions where something breaks on your watch, you're like, I know I have insurance. I don't know if I really care to involve the insurance.
Right.
But, it's there in case someone is, like, murdered because I randomly didn't rekey that one lock or whatever. I got the luckiest break. I call the lady down. I'm like, hey, so something happened. And she's like, explain. And I'm like, the door slammed. This happened. I was going to charge you an extra amount of money. How? And she, like, just finishes my thought. She's like, you want to just call it even? Like, you just charged the original thing? I'm like, that's an amazing deal. And then she reveals that she makes her, like, living, or at least a side thing. You know, do you like how sexist I am, by the way? I'm like, she's a married wife, so this is some side project of hers.
A little hobby.
Exactly. She puts little googly eyes on rocks and stuff with pipe cleaners. She's like, yeah, I do light plumbing work and I do like patching of walls. And I'm like, well, I guess you're patching this one. And before we could get too haggly with it, I got my bucks and I got the hell
nice.
Out. Like it couldn't have happened better. But honest to God, you watch that happen and she says slow motion. No.
I mean, I could definitely see being from her position of you have this crazy storm and you're just freaking out because you just want to get in.
Yeah.
And the relief of having gotten in the door, maybe the next day she thought twice of, man, I should have pushed back in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, hubby comes home, and, like, if that gets noticed, he's like, what the hell? He still charged you? Like, yeah, actually, he did. You're right, that son of a bitch. I mean, I maybe, like, you'd like to think in a better world I got credit for mentioning it, because I easily could have run upstairs and just been
yeah,
like...
Yeah, and I'm not... Maybe I'm just not totally... understanding of all of the tech, all the procedures, but was it even your fault necessarily? Could you have just been like, hey man, that door is just like not good?
I didn't slam the door in a rage. Yeah, the wind just grabbed it and really put some balls on it, man. Like,
It's called an act of God.
I guess so, yeah. That was a real...
I wouldn't blame you for that.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't like...
I also wouldn't pay you, but...
Exactly, yeah. Oh, thank God she was a damn plumber, not a lawyer like you. Yeah, there was some crazy, crazy stuff that went down, though. Like, did you hear about the barf plane flying into Dulles, our local airport?
How did anybody fly in this weather, man? That was crazy. Because I saw people coming out of Nationals. Who's still flying right now? I was in the car passing National when the storm was going on. It was like traffic coming out of the airport. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, they knew this was coming too. This was not like it happened out of nowhere situation.
No, I don't know what it is, but anytime I hear wind, like my mom is like, the wind is going to be bad tomorrow. I'm like, all right, you old bitty, Jesus Christ, like, warn me if it's snow.
Yeah, what is it, going to move stuff?
Exactly, like, driving rain is a gray area, but God, if you've gotten to the wind, really, you're just an old, sad sack of crap. Like, that's it's wind, it's not going
to... Yeah, it's like, next is shadows, right? Like, ooh, it's going to be dark in an area.
Yeah, she's literally from an old Nintendo game. She's like, it's dark out there. Take this.
Here's a candle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, it just blows me away. And yet, then the wind hits and, like, trees are getting uprooted and, like, my neighbor's fences are getting pulled down, which, by the way, I always get so high and mighty about. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, as long as my stuff is intact... And I drive by someone else, and, like, their fence is ripped up, or they had a tree. Like, especially if they had a tree that came down. I'm like, what a poor homeowner. How dare they not take care of their trees? That tree should have been pruned. Like, even though I had a tree in my front yard that lightning literally split in half, and I did nothing about it. And years later, a strong storm pulled it down and totaled my car. And, like, I will still laugh at anyone and just judge them, even though it couldn't have gotten worse for me. Maybe the home getting torn down by the tree instead of the car. But, yeah, I get, like, this air of moral superiority. I'm like, this is because you hug your child inappropriately. God saw fit to punish you. Your fence is apart. That's because you're poor. And you didn't buy the good fence. I get weird thoughts seeing people punished by God. Is it any wonder that, like, we're not a compassionate people? Like, why socialism fails?
I would like to see you take that platform out. Yeah. Like, take it out for a test drive and just see.
Just like, yeah, you know, your neighbors who got waterlogged in that strong storm.
Had it coming.
Exactly. It's because he looks at pornography of a certain persuasion. I'd probably get like 75-90% of the vote, conservatively speaking.
Yeah, now I was like, that actually probably is most people's platforms.
It really is. Yeah, let's be honest. Like that, I would probably be king of Texas inside of 3 weeks. They'd be like, this man speaks the truth. I would just say that. I would sing a little ZZ Top's Tush, and that'd be that. I'd be coronated. That'd be that. Once a year, we'd celebrate Pantera Day, and...
And you'd have a wind basement. You'd have a wind bunker in Texas. Yeah. You'd be good to go.
I would be the windproof king, which is pretty much what I want on my license plate now because I survived this most recent storm. But yeah, we had the barf plane, which was flying into Dulles. And the description that came in over some sort of like, I think a lot of people saw this article, but there's like verbiage that looks like it came over like an AP wire almost.
Yeah.
But it was like some plane to air traffic controllers.
Yeah,
talk.
like they are just bleeping and blipping and dashing and everything, like their Morse code. And this is what we found out is everyone on the plane barfed on the way down.
Yes. Yes. They said, I think the exact quote was pretty much everyone on the plane threw up. And they added even the pilots were on the verge of throwing up.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, I'm sorry, I bet they're lying. Like, I bet the pilots lost it, but they had to act cool about it.
Yeah, they definitely had to. It's their job.
Yeah, like, they can't look like rooks. Like, they have to be like the guys who are like, yeah, I went to the strip club, but I didn't bust in my pants during the lap dance. Like, I was just cool with it. Now I'm dating the stripper. What's up? Yeah, which got us on the topic of chain reaction barfing.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I thought of this when I heard the plane story, and it has to do with chain reaction barfing, but Problem Child 2.
Yes.
You may remember... it's a very early scene. I think it kind of sets up the beginning of like that the second Problem Child. I forget what her name was.
But Trixie? I might have recorded this movie and watched it 15
times.
Yeah,
Trixie's 100% what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, and she can get on the ride at the amusement. It's like the state fair has come through at their town, and she can get on the ride because she's wearing lifts, and he can't because he's a little squirt.
Yes.
And she's, you know, rubbing in his face and laughing at him. So he goes under the machine and just, like, clicks up to mega stupid speed.
Yes.
And then everyone just starts barfing on each other. And, like, it's a perfect circle. So you barf at, like, 12 o'clock and it hits a 6 o'clock guy. And it's just, like, a barf extravaganza, a human centipede of barfing. And, like, that's what I thought of. And I was wondering on the plane, like, does it happen like that? Does the barfing go anywhere?
It has to. Dude, you're 100%, like, I wouldn't have even thought about that. I would have been like, oh, they just got shook that hard and everyone barfed thusly. But you're right. Like, there were some people who were holding the fort until those first weaklings caved.
Yeah.
And like, because I've experienced chain reaction barfing where you're kind of trying to hold it together and then you see it or you smell it.
The smell.
Oh, that stomach acid smell. And then I remembered a time in fifth grade where I got chain reaction barfed.
Ew.
Like, so there was this a little fruit snack. Let me look up what the hell was the name of it specifically. Fruit snack.
Was it Fruit by the Foot?
Wasn't fruit. Okay, I think it was called Moon Rocks.
Were they tiny? They were
yes,
like,
they were
yes,
like little pebble
yeah,
bastards.
Yeah, they were
so
little
I don't know
pebble.
If it's.
I know you're talking about.
Okay, I don't think it's.
They're so small.
Yes, they were like little. Like half of your pinky nail type rocks. So I don't know if you guys, well, you had my same elementary school, but you weren't there.
I don't think, yeah, this must have been like fourth grade because I showed up around fifth.
But you kind of forget as a kid how much time you spend just being lined up. Like roughly 20% of elementary school is learning to sit in a line and like shut up and stay in the line position you've been assigned. So there were these... I think we were in fourth grade. There were fifth graders who were still seated next to where the lines would queue up to then get walked back to class. Before this, it'll become abundantly clear why I'm including this little bit of the story in about 5 to 10 seconds. Before this, my buddy and I had been sharing a package of these little son of a bitch fruit snack rocks. I don't know what they're called, and I cannot find it for the life of me right now. The fifth graders had, like, they had trapped almost like a pet frog or some crap. One of them had apparently puked onto their little pink styrofoam tray.
Mm.
And they're kind of just like, hey, guys, look at this puke. And at first we're just like, ha ha, that's cool, okay. But what then sets the story in motion, they had put one of those stupid, like, 3-inch by 6-inch rectangular napkins. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah,
the lunchroom
that was all
napkin.
You got.
Yeah, on top of the puke. And they then start pulling it back like one with a Band-Aid, like from one side. And the puke's just coming with it, like it's pizza cheese. And they start doing this in like a wave
Stop.
Motion. So I'm getting queasy. But I then turned to my friend, Pat Saccone, who was a man of weaker constitution, I guess. Pat cannot hold out and starts, like, puts his hand to his mouth and starts vomiting into his cup hand.
Mm.
So that gets me to, like, I'm on deck at this point. And then
you got, like, the nod. They're like, John, you're up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're like, take off the donut, kid. You're coming. What then sets me over the edge is I see, because we ate these things 10 minutes ago, just the little bits of the fruit snack in his vomit, like coming through his fingers. Mm. At which point I start losing it. And I think about 3 or 4 of us ultimately went down,
ugh,
get marched to the you know, the infirmary, and just have to explain, like, no, we're not really sick. The older kids were just playing with vomit. It's not our fault. And then once he vomited, yeah.
Did you at least get to go home early?
I would hope so, because if it was fourth grade, I think I was playing Final Fantasy like a son of a bitch and would have leapt at any chance to go home and play that for a couple hours. I don't recall the ending of that. I just remember him barfing, me barfing, and I think once the kids... like
I know how that ended. That ended with, like, some guy or some lady janitor coming and putting that wood chip stuff on it, which just makes it smell worse.
I've never smelled that. My mom was like a kindergarten.
It's like a Lysol and like a wood chip type thing. It's so bad. Like, that would make me puke it's after, like, it's cleaned
it's
up.
It's like putting Parm cheese, like Kraft Parm cheese, onto the spaghetti sauce with this vomit. Yeah, it kind of soaks it up. And then, but like, what is the ultimate consistency? Because I've never seen this done. Does it?
It's like sand. It's almost like sand, like a thick sand. Maybe.
Do they pick it up with like a spatula
kitty litter,
afterward?
Almost like a kitty litter type thing, where they like just dump it on top. Yeah, and then it, like, I don't know. I don't know if it doesn't dissolve it. I'm sure, but it's just gross. It doesn't do anything helpful.
Oh, I was gonna say something really bad, but I'm not gonna. Well, now you have to say it, John. Now I was just saying.
Give us a second. Like, this is gonna go to a bad place. Like, I'm already a little queasy from your description.
No, I was just gonna say, if like a woman ever desperately wronged you, I could think of one place on her body to put that where dryness might not be desired.
You were right. Yeah. Deliver. Yeah.
Now I just sound like an African warlord, macheting off kids' hands. Doing things to vaginas. Yeah, I shouldn't have said it, but
you are a terrible person.
I know. That's why I'm here with you guys. You're the only company that doesn't hate me. Thank you. Yeah, so Chain Reaction barf, and you said Problem Child too, which I watched the hell out of that thing.
Feels like it's almost time for a remake of that one.
Oof.
Does the kid get a cameo?
Yeah, probably. I wonder how old that kid is now. I don't really want to think about it, but...
How old are you?
I'm 33.
He
was younger than me, though.
Are you kidding me?
I think so. I don't know.
Because he was like 8-ish or something when I was probably like 8 or 9, but you never
know. I remember looking
if he's
down
like
on that kid.
14, really?
Like thinking that I was older, because I remember thinking he was just such a little like squirt, like a little obnoxious kid. But he's playing with pipe bombs. I don't know.
Yeah, like that dude got it together. He got to hang with Gilbert Gottfried and
Kramer.
Yes, the bow tie killer.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think John Ritter gets a cameo in the new one? I actually really like. I was really hot for John Ritter's, like, not the. Oh no, wait. I was gonna say the redheaded bitch wife, like the girl he actually settles with. In Problem Child 2, it's just her with a dye job, right?
Like, is it?
Yeah, I believe he's like the woman who was his wife when he passed away because like his aorta exploded or whatever the hell happened was a redheaded woman, and I think she plays like an evil piece of crap in the first one, and I think she's his love interest in the second one, and they just dye her like a dark brown because like that's in like late 80s, early 90s media, that's how you conveyed like someone was homely. Like they could be really beautiful, but it's like, oh, but that poor thing's not blonde.
She's not blonde. Like, it's been tough.
Yeah, you're like, that's a 5. I'm sorry. Yeah. God damn that movie. I can't say it was good.
It definitely wasn't, but...
But it spoke to me. Like,
for a kid, I mean, it was kid good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You could watch it 100 times, your parents are like, like, you're smart, I'm smart. How is our kid such a goddamn dunce?
Yeah.
That watching this for the 50th time, but it's going down. Howard, were you looking her up or no?
Yeah, no, that she definitely became John Ritter's spouse. So.
Yeah, I think they met on the set of Problem Child, so.
And that was when he had kind of disappeared, right? After Three's Company, he had not had much success between that and Problem Child. I thought this was a bit of a sleeper hit.
This might have been his Look Who's Talking.
Yeah.
Like his Travolta's Look Who's Talking.
Yeah, he was he was getting into a franchise. He thought he was going to get that franchise money.
Yeah, oh yeah. But how many Look Who's Talkings were there? There's Look Who's Talking 2.
There's 5 of them, I believe.
Holy crap. I think one's called like Look Who's Talking, it's Roseanne. Like, I didn't watch any of them. Like, I'm really proud to say that. I kind of jumble them together with the Three Men and a Little Baby Lady. whatever the
yeah,
hell that
you know what
was.
Though, like, I think it's all because Police Academy was able to carry the sequels pretty deep into, like, I'd say number 5 was one of my favorites. I saw 5 when I was a little kid.
There's
I used to love Police Academy 5.
I know we just revealed that we're deep on Problem Child 2, yeah. But you get the hell out of
like, I've watched Problem Child 2 like 10 times, but get that crap out
yeah,
of here.
Exactly, yeah. Like, lines have to be drawn.
You remembered her name was Trixie.
Josh, get the barf powder. Howard, show me your vagina. Police Academy. Like,
Police Academy 5, I don't even think Steve Guttenberg was in that one. Yeah, because he was making Three Men and a Lady.
Yeah,
Three Men and a Baby.
This is like
that's
a Guttenberg
yeah.
fest now.
Yeah.
He was not in. I'm talking about I love the one where he had to miss it because he was making a better movie.
Oh, he just tapped out.
Well, they just couldn't get the schedules. They were like, hey, we already did this. There's a bunch of people who have been doing these Police Academy movies. We found another white guy who kind of looks like you. He's going to be good enough.
Oh my God, another Jewish guy in Hollywood. Where did they? God, it's weird Guttenberg came up because I randomly, to avoid the crushing loneliness of my life, went on HBO Go and saw Barry Levinson's Diner the other week where he was like actually there to not be goofy, like just acted. And I'm like, he's an incredibly gifted actor. Like, what the hell happened? Like, isn't that just.
You get typecast, man. I mean,
I guess, yeah.
You heard about, what's his name?
Chuck Norris.
The dad from the Brady Bunch was a Shakespearean trained actor.
Are you kidding me?
Ruined his career to be on the Brady Bunch. Because everybody's like, hey, you're the dad from the Brady Bunch. That's pretty much all we'll ever let you do is, you know, dad to like a strange, funny family.
Oh, God. The only thing I knew about him is like he was closeted and just like, you know, did all kinds of dangerous crap on the down low. And I think eventually, I don't want to say he got the bug, but I think
he might have.
Did he get?
I think he was one of the more prominent people to die of AIDS.
Oh, yeah. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's the official take here.
But I think...
AIDS death of closeted man in the 80s, tragic.
In his life, he was probably sadder he couldn't go back to doing Shakespeare. I think he was like a legit actor who was in like, crap.
Yeah.
Why did I do this job?
That strong cough during the monologues, that would...
Actually, I read a funny story today. Like, I'll pose this to both you guys, because I've been thinking about it ever since reading about it. Because you guys met at improv class, right? Is that where you guys have met? Or
yeah, in that
yeah,
context.
Yeah. We were both on Grindr, and
so I was reading about Jordan Klepper's wife. I can't remember her name now.
You just said it, Jordan Klepper's wife. Sorry.
She's actually on his show. I just
yes,
found this out.
I didn't know.
I think it's Lauren Gray or Laura Gray.
Okay.
It escapes me at the moment, but I found out that I was reading an article.
Too bad it's not Sasha Gray.
But her chief complaint was when she was first up and coming, she could either, you know, teach improv classes, teach acting classes, or try to get these commercial bits. And she did this one for a yeast infection.
No.
Oh.
And just everybody in Chicago knew her as the girl in the yeast infection commercial. And it like paid her bills for a month, but it's just like, man, that thing's going to run for at least like 6 months.
That is such a great way to get your wife to never screw around
with you. Honey, I found a great role for
it's
you.
Great AZT commercial, yeah.
But it's just like, I can imagine being that place of like, oh, I'll never work in this town again just because of one yeast infection commercial. And yeah. Then like on like the macroscopic level, you got guys in Hollywood, it's just like, yep, you're Mr. Brady for the rest of your life. Goodbye to Shakespeare. Hope you enjoyed real theater because you're never doing it again.
Like Ernest P. Worrell, I think, was the same. Jim Varney. I think he was a Shakespearean
actor,
yeah. Too. Yeah.
That's awful.
It really is, yeah. Goddamn Hamlet gets scared stupid, you know? Like, it's not... God, life is cruel.
Like, that guy's teachers must just have been so bummed out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, this is what happened to him.
On so many levels. Like, he might have been the guy in the theater. You're like, this is my great white hope. And then he's like, no, I mean, Vern, like 2 years later. You're like, God damn, this world is cruel.
And thinking about, like, the guy who was, like, his understudy as, you know, in whatever Shakespeare he was in. And you'd be like, yeah, you know that guy? I had to work under him because he was so damn good at Shakespeare.
He was better than me.
He's better than me, exactly. I wish I could have had what he had.
I got to play Bernie in Weekend at Bernie's, but don't have Jim Varney's range here. No, man, that's horrible. It's funny you mentioned Klemper. I actually haven't seen that show yet. I heard him on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, my secret shame show that if you listen to this podcast, you wouldn't think I was a fan of. But yeah, I love me some Terry.
He's growing into the role. I think he's enjoying it more. You can tell there are times where he and all the correspondents are uncomfortable with the fact that they have to make fun of Alex Jones and also watch Alex Jones in order to write some of their bits. Because I think all of them are... It's difficult to have to actually, like, following up on the Colbert Report, which, I mean, it stunk to have to spend an hour watching Bill O'Reilly every night for the writers. Mm-hmm. It's 1 hour. I think Alex Jones is like a 3 or 4 hour show, isn't it? Sounds awful. Somebody's got to watch it within the...
Oh, no, like, don't get me wrong. I know Alex Jones, like, I'll get a clip here and there, like, he's ripping off his shirt, the frogs are being turned gay, things yeah. like that. But you're right, he might crap out, like, a real pant load every day for several hours worth. I don't know if you really need to watch that, though. Like, I feel...
There's an intern. Basically, I think they just churn through interns who are like, you're maybe going to be allowed to write a couple jokes, but you actually have to, like, spend a couple weeks watching this crap for us
and giving us
the top 5 minutes.
I always wonder about that on, like, The Daily Show and all those shows. Like, how do they see everything? How do they see... If, you know, when they have these montages of every time someone does something that they do all the time that we don't notice, you know, like their tick, and mm-hmm. they make a super cut of it, or the one, you know, I'm sure it's not the one time, but like Tucker Carlson says something absolutely inane, more inane than before, and how they're watching it. They turn it around in 24 hours mm-hmm. or whatever, and I'm just blown away by what the staff, what they must have there.
No, you got it and Howard got it. They just have massive staffs. Like, one guy is just, you are the Fox dude. And, like, just 2 hours yeah. worth of Fox programming. Like, just, find something funny.
But you're working there because you want to be in comedy, and then you're forced to watch not just the news, but
yeah.
the kind of news you would never choose to watch yourself. It's horrible. Like, I can imagine doing it for a week or two and being like, this is a ridiculous world. I didn't know anybody thought this way. But then, like, to do it 2-3 months later, I don't know about that.
Well, it's kind of like there's a plot line, I think, from the last season of Silicon Valley where Dinesh, that Kumail guy, he gets a job where he's trying, I think, to like teach a computer how to filter like pornography and like just pictures of erections
wow.
out. And yeah. so he has to just click through thousands oh, no. and thousands yeah. of pictures of erections and be like, computer, this is a penis.
yeah.
Sounds like that taken to the nth degree. So maybe, yeah, someone was a former like Daily Show guy and then managed to work that into the plot. I don't know.
Mm.
An exaggerated version thereof. Is that how comedy works? You take something.
That's it.
And you,
that, yeah. That's it.
Thank you. I didn't know. I have nothing to add here other than I should give that show a shot because he sounded cool enough and he's a UCB guy, was it? Or Second City?
Second City, yeah.
Yeah. I remember him just saying in the interview that like for the Daily Show position, it was both him and his wife up for the same one. They had to like compete against each other. I'm like, God damn, that sounds harsh. That
yeah,
is.
I read her take on it because it's like, you got to be happy for this other person. But how do you celebrate when it's just like, oh yeah, I got this job and you didn't. Should we do something together or should we just like, let me go to work on Monday?
It's such a weird place to be.
Yeah.
I would like to think I'd have the balls to just go dick deep with it and just be like, this is the culmination of everything. Like, I finally, this is the puzzle piece that made these last 37 years come together. And then,
I just worked harder than all the people I was going up against.
Pretty much,
deserved
yeah.
it more.
Like, look, game recognizes game. What can I say? Like, Jon Stewart knows I'm good. Pizza's on me, I guess.
Stunning, you're still single.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
No. That is how a lot of fights are settled. Pizza's on me.
Yeah. Pizza's on me.
Pizza's on me. We're good now.
Pizza or the barf powder, bitch. Take your pick. All right. So let's segue into the big pay dirt of the episode. Now that we've established that I'm single and will be permanently single, I don't know why I thought of this, but actually, I do. I was in the shower. And Alice in Chains' Them Bones came on, and then it segued into Down in a Hole. And I was listening to the lyrics, and I realized, like, Alice in Chains has, like, five songs, no fewer than five songs, where, like, someone in, like, hundreds of people in the 90s must have taken their final little alternative jolt of smack to these lyrics, been like, oh, Layne Staley gets me, and then died. Like, they just made music to kill yourself to. Like, straight up.
It's not a great business model.
Yeah, but... exactly. Like this is the beginning to Down in a Hole. And this was a single, mind you. This was a toe tapper in 94. Bury me softly in this womb. I give this part of me for you. Sand rains down and here I sit, holding rare flowers in a tomb in bloom. That is how a pop hit in the early to mid 90s opened. A very strongly charting single.
Was this in the pre iHeartRadio days?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah. Kelly Clarkson was a couple years after this. Yeah. So it got me thinking, like, what are the top songs? Like, if I were to finally man up and do it, what are my absolute top picks, like my top three songs I would go out to? And I let these guys know, I let Howard know, I let Josh know, and we all, I think, walked in with lists.
I will say before we start, I do hope that you do share your list with your therapist the next time you see him. I will say, this is one of the strangest emails I've ever gotten.
One, it's a her. Two, we're focusing on my weight loss right now, thank you. And we've established I don't want to kill myself. They always ask that in therapy. The trick is to never say you've really thought about it, or else you'll wind up in a padded room.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you give a sly wink. You're like, have you ever thought about it? No. Never. All right. So who wants to go first? Because I just want to mercilessly mock everyone else's taste.
Well, okay. I have a question. Sure. I have my list, so I'm not going to change my answers. But, like,
you're stuck.
I think a part of it when I was thinking about this was, like, will other people know the song? Like, is it going to be on loop when they find my body?
100%.
Or, like, they're going to check, you know, like, they'll check my body and they'll be like, okay, he died at 8 o'clock, and we're going to go to a Spotify and see what was playing at 8 o'clock. Like, people are going to know this, right?
They're going to know. Yeah, it's not like you crap out, and by the time they get to you, it's like blasting Tattoo or some other Russian
pop.
Yeah,
like they're like six songs down the playlist.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He killed himself to Wu-Tang. Okay. Bold.
Yeah, like, man, Spotify takes some real leaps with what they recommend next.
All right. I'm going to punch these up as you guys mention them, and I'm going to look up some lyrics too, so if I'm a little slower and more worthless than usual.
All right, well, I'll give you my first one. This was kind of a no-brainer for me. Bruce Springsteen, The River. I mean, the song is essentially like a six-minute suicide. It's just like dark. I'm sure Bruce Springsteen people or Bruce Springsteen himself would tell you it's beautiful. It's a nice story. It's a dark story about, you know, not having things and but yeah, I mean, you can hear right there.
I wanted to mock these songs, but... Nah, excellent pull.
Yeah, I mean, so...
Tasteful, too.
It's a highbrow suicide here.
It really is, yeah.
So you get into it, and there's some point where the lyrics say, those memories come back to haunt me, they haunt me like a curse. Is a dream a lie if it don't come true, or is it something worse? I mean, that's it. That's all I need. I'm done.
Yeah, I actually watched Springsteen, I think, last year perform... The River in its entirety, and yeah, man, like, who wouldn't want to die to that? Every Springsteen lyric, for the most part, like, he's only got, like, just ebullient, like, incredibly happy songs. Like, you've got Cadillac Ranch, like, what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, you're
like,
not killing yourself to Cadillac Ranch.
No, even though this is about death, too, but this is, like, a happy death song. But you're completely right. You don't want to kill yourself to The River, and then someone finds you. And, like, side two has kicked in.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're just, like, dancing, you know, white person 1986 style, elbows in the air.
Like, must have been a big Courtney Cox fan.
Good pull, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is maybe Springsteen's most suicide-y song. One of my radio idols, Ron Bennington, is obsessed with just like singing little bars of that here and there when he wants to convey like deep despair.
Yeah.
Like it is just, the entire song is what? A story of a guy who knocks up a chick.
Has to get married.
Yeah.
They have nothing.
Yes.
And they go to the river.
He will drive to the river every so often and just dream about throwing his ass into it.
Oh my gosh. You guys took this like way too seriously. Like
I think as my list evolves, we may get lighter here.
All right.
Okay.
Damn, that was heavy.
I'm sorry that the suicide song isn't a knee slapper.
Because my first choice
Dude,
was,
you are not invited to my suicide.
Yeah.
Deal.
I'm finding this man's corpse and putting the bar sand in his vagina.
Because I was just like, I'm going to nominate my first song as like my favorite Eric Carmen song.
Okay. What is this?
Oh, you don't have a guess?
All by myself?
No, that's cliche.
What?
I would have done Make Me Lose Control. You have to remember this song.
Let's hear it.
Oh, I have to sing it for you? Is that it?
No, I'm punching
Turn the radio up for that sweet sound. Hold me close, never let me go. There's Keep this feeling alive. Make me lose.
That definitely gets for the ears, hungry eyes. This is Kid Leo, and I want to thank my
We've got a bikini. God, we have like. Thank you, Leo. All right, I'm going to just click through this intro.
This is it. This is the spot. This is the chorus. This is where it happens. This is where the magic happens. And I actually did envision, like, this being looped when someone found me.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they'd be so confused until they realize, like, the song is called Make Me Lose Control. It's what pushed me over the edge.
And you would have released your bowels after death. It all completes. I'm going to mock this thoroughly. I'm going to say I didn't think you take this seriously enough.
I mean, All By Myself was like too obvious, right, for Eric Carmen?
Yeah, there's and aren't there just like, when I was thinking about this, there's some songs that are just too on the nose. Like,
oh, if you're full balls deep on the nose.
Oh, you did?
So, a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna poo-poo any of them then.
No, you should.
Maybe they're on your list.
I'm pretty much a talking monkey, so.
I think if you have REM, Everybody Hurts, you need more creativity in your suicide.
You really should kill yourself, if that's on your list. Like, that is a horrible pick. God,
yeah, I mean, that's just like if you have Coldplay, I think we need to just like, you know, we need more creativity there.
I'm with you, but this is a real on-the-noser that I'm starting with.
Okay. By the way, Michael Stipe, like, you just lost him. Like, he's officially never listening to the show again.
No! I can't believe I lost Michael Stipe! Gonna start my list with what I feel is a strong entry. I can tell you boys actually touched boobs in middle school because you're not immediately recognizing Metallica's Fade to Black. Which is a one of those songs that a non-zero amount of acne-riddled metalheads in the mid-80s definitely swallowed a shotgun to.
All right, I'm so sorry you have to remind me. Did they write this after the bassist died? Was this part of... like?
No.
Or this is before he kicked it?
Oh, I mean, God, if you want me to go full autistic. Okay, Ride the Lightning is album number 2. Cliff Burton died while they're touring, I believe, Sweden or Norway, some Scandinavian socialist paradise, in promotion of Master of Puppets, their number 3.
It was during Master of Puppets, that's right.
It was post-Master of Puppets that the bus tips over after he had played a game of shortest draw with guitarist Kirk Hammett to see who got the top bunk. Mm. He falls halfway out of the bus because the window is open to keep the temperature cool while he's sleeping. And bus plus sternum, that's not a good mix. The bus won versus the sternum that day.
Yeah.
And he was gone. I remember hearing this as a kid before like depression really kicked in. And I was just like, wow, people can be this sad. This is amazing. I'll give you some of the lyrics. Life, it seems, will fade away, drifting further every day, getting lost within myself. Nothing matters, no one else. I have lost the will to live, simply nothing more to give. There is nothing more for me. Need the end to set me free. That's kind of like the lighter part of the song. I remember I then revisited that track years later, like after puberty had started its wicked work, and I was like, oh man, I finally get like wanting to kill yourself. And then you realize you're in a bad place because you're like, I shouldn't get that. Like, this song shouldn't have finally clicked for me, but it did, and now I'm screwed. So, yeah, give us another Eric Carmen, Howard. No, we're going to Josh. Josh with his two seed.
All right. Excuse me. My number two seed is, again, this is, so Bruce Springsteen is like one of my favorite artists. So I think, you know, that was close to home there. And this is another thing close to home. So in The Shawshank Redemption, mm-hmm. Brooks, the librarian of the prison, is let go. He's let out of jail. And life on the outside, those walls, is changed, and he is not cool with it. He's been institutionalized, as we are told many times. Brooks kills himself. You may remember he carves Brooks is, was here onto the beam where he hangs himself.
Ah, I've got a goosebumps already.
Yeah,
son
so
of a bitch.
Brooks Was Here is the name of the song, and it's Thomas Newman. It's a score. There are no lyrics here. It's just a haunting song that depicts or that sort of goes along with this man hanging himself. And I thought that was a pretty good one.
You said Thomas, and I almost thought, like, what? Thomas Dolby, She Blinded Me with Science. I was like, that is a interesting choice here. But let's hear this
yeah,
score.
Yeah, click, like, way into it, because it doesn't really... I mean, it's just like...
Oh, I could definitely see opening up a vein or two to this one.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Howard?
It's brutal, man. Like, you guys are just bringing me down a little here. Like, this is all...
This is a comedy show. What's not funny about this?
Oh, my God.
A truth in comedy.
Yeah. Time plus pain equals laughs, I think. Yeah. Maybe pain minus time equals this show. Who the hell knows?
The only thing this is kind of copycat. That's my only downside to this one.
I had a movie copycat choice too, man.
Ooh, good. I'm looking
we'll
forward
get to it.
All right.
You don't want to do yours first, or you want to hear mine?
Well, you know what? We'll do mine then.
Yeah, so it's a nice segue.
Like, someone didn't do his goddamn homework. All right. This is my number two. I, too... was inspired by a movie scene.
Not so different, you and I.
Yeah, soulmate. Sorry you ruined our lives and married Colleen, because we could have been something. So, the end of Dead Presidents, admittedly kind of a junky film. And I don't mean that in the sense they were into heroin. It's just kind of a piece of crap film. But I used to get very high in the era when that was on HBO, and so more than one night would end with me like tripping my balls off and watching Dead Presidents. The ending scene with Chris Tucker OD'd watching Al Green on Soul Train always stuck with me.
Oh my God.
Because they did that completely like cheesy, over the top. The cops bust in the door. He's literally got the syringe in the arm still to convey, like, you know, like the heroin was that potent, he pushed the plunger down and just died. Yeah, just boom. And he's got the cheesy, the white contacts that you also give to blind people, which I would love to talk to any sort of coroner to know if that actually happens to eyes whatsoever, because he just looks like a fish on the grill. But Al Green's tired of being alone. His play and the great contrast in the scene. I mean, the lyrics work for Suicide. Won't you help me, girl? The answer unequivocally in my life thus far has been a resounding no. No girl has helped me thus far. But what's so great is they're trying to make this like very serious, somber scene. And yet Al Green is in the most fantastic, like, 70s pimp getup. Just a vest like he's a member of the Warriors. No shirt underneath it. Literally a fur top hat. Like, the contrast of... God, like, that is why black music works. I just want to say that right now. This is a microcosm of it. You've got Metallica doing Fade to Black in, like, black t-shirts, a bandolier belt, just head to toe looking like the Grim Reaper weighing 150 pounds. Al Green is doing Tired of Being Alone.
With some style. With some
with
panache.
With some style.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's singing that and you know he's going to impregnate 16 women in the next 10 minutes, like after he's off that stage. Like he's got it going on. Even when he's tired of being alone, he's going to get in a bone. There you go. Howard, who didn't care about this project. Oh, man.
You know what? I did have one that was also movie related.
Okay.
It's a little different. It's more of a modern concept. It's been an experiment that's been going on with the internet recently. It's called the Walk of Life Project.
And so the song by the Dire Straits, Walk of Life, the theory is that it is the perfect song to end any movie. So instead of pulling up the song, I think you should look up Walk of Life, Casablanca. And then just when people hear the audio, I think they'll understand why Walk of Life is the great ending. It's the perfect ending.
I like this one. I like where you're going here.
So I hope you can find this because I'm trying
to find...
Oh,
it's already playing. It's
great.
Dead airing for whatever reason. The plane has just taken off. Bogey sitting there with whoever the non-bogey guy is.
It might be a good idea for you to disappear from Casablanca for a while. There's a free French garrison over at Brazzaville. I could be induced to arrange a passage.
My letter of transit? I could use a trip. But it doesn't make any difference about our bet. You still owe me 10,000 francs.
And that 10,000 francs should be our expenses.
Our expenses? Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I like this project.
Oh, my God.
Any movie, every movie, including the one where you film yourself killing yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I'm now picturing the end of... First of all, I don't want to turn this down, but I'm now picturing the end of Casino with De Niro in his huge glasses. Yeah. And that's that. Oh, Godfather ending Walk of Life project. God damn it. I could go down that K-hole tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, you will. After the show. But this is so much fun.
Oh, good Lord. That is... Damn, dude.
Oh, damn. I just saw a Truman Show. Oh, that's good.
Have you guys seen There Will Be Blood? That would be amazing.
I'm finished!
So, one of the best things the internet has ever produced is the Walk of Life project.
Goodfellas Pesci unloading the revolver. Bang, bang. Oh, my good Lord. God damn it.
Every movie.
That's a great call. Every movie. I think that's the leader right now.
Wow. Blair Witch would have been so much better.
Oh,
that's
my.
In there. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's absolutely in there.
All right, Josh.
All right, so I'm going to change gears here for number three. I kind of have a list. These are the songs that I'm trying. This is like I really cared about other people hearing them because I either wanted to make some kind of statement or be funny. Like the last thing people would know is like, yeah, he killed himself, but he was funny about it. He killed himself to "God Bless the USA" by Lee Greenwood, or like, I mean, that's not even my choice necessarily. Maybe "Let It Go" on Frozen, you know, or like "Last Christmas" by Wham. I just think people would remember you for that, and I'm not sure if someone's gonna remember you for Bruce Springsteen's "The River." But you know, like if you kill yourself to the Big Bang Theory theme song, people are going to remember that.
So we're going to sit here in silence for the next 3 minutes, 7 seconds. God, if you really want to go down a hole.
People would say though, it would be like the NFL. It would be like, you know, kneeling for an anthem. People be like, you don't respect the flag. You killed yourself during "God Bless the USA."
Yeah, it would be an affront. More of an affront though, is this fan-made video for the song. The images thus far, we have an American flag with an eagle's head superimposed over the stars.
Sure, of course.
We then go... I'm going to just describe this for about 30 seconds. We've then X-wiped to an eagle with the American flag over its face. We've now got the Twin Towers blowing up.
Shut up.
With
oh my God.
A spirit girl like superimposed on one of them. Now we've cut to a family.
Sure.
We had another shot of the Twin Towers. Now it's just a white family. Now we've got...
I'm guessing you're going to get a lot of white families in this
not
one.
Not so much. We've now just got flags in front of houses. Just another flag. Come on, give me one more. All right, now a horrible computer graphic that looks like it's done in, like, a resolution of 320 of the American flag superimposed over the Statue of Liberty. Now I got... Oh, my God. Okay. We're going to end that because there's now just a graphic of the flag and then the words "I'm free" superimposed over it. These are incredible. Holy hell. I have a great memory of that song. Like, third grade, I was in a class. I just joined the Gifted and Talented program. Look at me, both gifted and talented.
You're going to really date yourself because I remember this. We're the same age.
Mm-hmm.
It was first Iraqi operation.
Desert Storm.
Desert Storm, yeah.
Sure, yeah. That was Desert Storm. Weird because I hadn't been born for another 8 years because I'm 25. But yeah, Desert Storm was coming out and we kicked Iraqi ass. I bought Desert Storm trading cards.
I remember those. Yeah. I remember there being those trading cards.
I would go to 7-Eleven, eat a week old hot dog, and get a pack of cards that depicted landmines.
I was gonna say I can't even remember what were on them anymore. Like if they were soldiers, like specific ones, like you know this is Major whoever, or were they just like tanks and stuff?
Yeah, it wasn't like, I've got a Thomas Houlihan. He's got a drinking problem to go with the horse in battle. No, it was legit. Like, I remember armaments. Like, I remember I had a Chinook helicopter card.
Okay, yes. It wasn't like, oh, I got the translator card. Oh, it's like a checklist.
What an intellectual queer. Yeah. It was, from what I remember, arms. Yeah.
Okay.
Arms and vehicles. But we were, for the end of the year, we were taught like a flag dance, that like real North Korea crap in retrospect. And I remember one of the kids I went to class with, Jim Bonapane, like his stepdad was an Air Force dude. Like I think his previous, his biological dad, his real dad. I'm so bad about mixed families. His real father. His biological pops, I think, was like Army or some crap. And then like an Air Force dude stepped in. So I guess the mom dug military folks. Random Jim Bonapane trivia that I remember. His mom walked down the aisle a second time to Firehouse's Love of a Lifetime.
Wow, that's really specific.
Mm-hmm. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, memory. I'll black out and pass my gym tomorrow morning, but I'll remember that. So... He was like on one side of things, like taking things incredibly seriously. Like he really didn't want to screw up this flag dance. Despite the fact we were all like, we were the little assholes in our class because we didn't want to be like the gifted and talented nerd. So we would like vandalize crap. But when it came to the flag, oh boy. And then we had to take it seriously. And then on the other side, we had my Bangladeshi friend, Shahir Hussam, who out of nowhere one time, just holding this stupid little 3.5-inch by 5-inch flag was like, you want to watch me spit on the flag? I'm like,
you can't do Shahir like that now, man.
All right,
in the world, like, he's gonna get in trouble and shit.
He doesn't care. He didn't. I was kind of like, I want to say like I was like really ballsy about it and encouraged it, but I was just like flabbergasted. I was like, ooh.
This during war? This was in wartime.
Like, I think we had just won. You know, like, George Bush needed our support. And he just, like, kind of he just upped the ante on the three little vandal kids in the class. It was me, Jim Bonapane, and John Sager. Like, the other two were children of divorce. I don't know what the hell my excuse was. I was just sick of being a fat little nerd, I guess. And like, we would, you know, vandal, write on the walls and do this and do that. But he's like, I'm going to hawk one on the flag. And I was just like, okay. Like, this was Dangerfield doing the triple Lindy at the end of back to school. I was just like, okay. I'm not even sure this is a prank anymore. And yeah, he just conjures one. And much like in the motion of the kid doing the puke wave with the napkin, just goes like, with the loogie as he's folded up the flag. And I was severely like shocked by that. Like that got me.
That's like a Sliding Doors moment for you. Who knows where you'd be if that hadn't happened.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, dude, you just got that guy in the no-fly list. Come on, man. He does a lot of travel for work.
Oh, my. Just because his name is Shahir Hussam and he's brown and Muslim. Get the hell out of here. He's fine.
No, he loves the flag. Come on.
I'm pretty sure he likes America. Like, I've seen no posts to the contrary. No, I don't know why he got a bug up his ass. I guess it's because, like...
It's tiring doing that stuff when you're a kid. It's just like, we get it. We're supposed to like America. Thanks. Yeah. Like, somehow this foreign war is supposed to make me feel better about my freedom, like, to walk around this country.
Yeah, we beat the crap out of Rhode Island. Like, we were really flying high after that. At least if you were a dumb little kid. you're like, we're going to war. And I remember like watching that night vision stuff that later, like, you know, you started just to like get conditioned to getting hard because of the Paris Hilton sex tapes when you saw it. But back then you're like, oh, night vision. I'm going to hear Wolf Blitzer's voice.
And then, you just see like these lights that you can't even tell what's happening.
Yeah. Kind of like tracer rounds zipping around the sky and stuff. And
no,
yeah.
I was talking about the Paris Hilton.
Yes. Just her creepy eyes. And you're like, why is this turning me on? Does she have boob implants? I think so. They're just tasteful. That was the debate of that tape. I'm sorry. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Everyone's like, did she just go with medium B's? Well done. Ballsy gambit. Yeah. So now that I've ruined Shahir's life, what's...
Give him a song.
Yeah.
Wait, you should finish, right?
What song is Shahir going to kill himself tonight?
How about I give you my third, since you should probably like close the show with yours, right? That's how it should be, right? It's Papa's Basement.
That's production. Right. There you go.
So my third one, actually, I kind of thought of it for you, possibly.
Oh, thank you.
Just because what a weird compliment.
I'm taking suggestions.
When you often do threaten to David Carradine yourself.
Yes.
Autoerotic asphyxiation is one of your preferred like thoughts whenever you like get these uncomfortable things.
Whenever I get stressed, really.
Yeah. One of the many things that you should talk to your therapist about, I think, is the fact that your choice for autoerotic asphyxiation should be the song I'm about to recommend for you.
Okay.
It's Teddy Pendergrass, Close the Door. Because, like, with the song structure, you got to get to the end.
Okay.
And I think if you time it, if you, like, learn the timing of the song. Do you remember the song? Do you remember how this ends?
No, I got to hear this one.
I need a refresher here.
Yeah, no, it kind of just starts building up. It starts
Letting me
do what I wanna do.
That sounds a little rapey, to be fair.
It is this song. Context. Yeah, this song. I think.
Gonna stick it in your bitch hole mouth.
I mean, you gotta move to the end of the song, man. But okay. Yeah, this is like, it's a slow jam. You're supposed to take a few minutes to make sure she's getting hers before you get yours.
He's wearing a tuxedo and he just gave a motion with his index finger. He's chiding the woman he's with because she hasn't given consent yet, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you may need one of those... They've gotten really good at building sex dolls these days. Like,
they're
very realistic, so I think you'd have to have one involved with you on this.
So what, like I'm doing this duet with my sex doll?
That's where you blow, right there.
So I kill myself right at, that's like a feat of timing.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard.
You
it's
could
difficult.
Die with some real regrets.
I feel like if you nail the timing, you wouldn't want to die then.
Yeah, like you would. It would be like those people who jump and they live and they say, like, as soon as their feet left the surface, they're like, I 100% regret this. And I think if you die too quickly, you're like, no, I was supposed to make it to 345. No. And you just blank out.
I've never understood how anybody, like, I don't think anybody who dies from autoerotic asphyxiation intends to. I think they're all just trying to get off, and then they screwed up something and end up choking to death.
Well, let me correct you. The last thing. You're not going to catch me that easily.
The last thing they remember could not be, and I blew my load simultaneously with death. No, I think it's like, I blew my load, and then I realized I was slowly choking to death.
Yeah, isn't the, I don't know, like, I don't read the trade papers, but isn't the thing you're supposed to put, like, a lemon wedge in your
trade
mouth?
Trade papers.
So when you're, like, really blacking out, like, you bite down on the lemon wedge, and then supposedly you, like, snap back to life.
This is like a weird game of mousetrap.
Oh, my God.
And then you suddenly come to, and you're like, oh, I'm about to die, jerking off.
Wow. No, I was unaware. I had actually not done that much research.
Maybe I learned that from Road Trip or something. I don't really remember.
I don't remember that part of Road Trip. But not to call you out there.
It was a DVD extra.
Oh, yeah.
Go to hell. All right, we're gonna close with mine, which it was ruined by a bit. It was ruined by a comedy bit years later, and they took it from me. So everyone loves this bit associated with the song. I'm just like, cool, you ruined a perfectly good suicider. The cowbell is actually in this song. Listen. There you go. Don't fear the reaper. All of time. Blue Oyster Cult, or BOC, as us virgins used to refer to them. That's, again, this was right in the throes of puberty. I think I was more blown away that a band, I think this was recorded, Agents of Fortune was probably like 1976. I was kind of bowled over that something was so dark from back then, because I was a young dunce. But, yeah, I think one time I was like balls high on nutmeg, which is depicted, by the way, Howard Hyland, who always laughed at my nutmeg highs and I think questioned if I was ever really high. They do get nutmeg high and Everything Sucks. That stupid 90s show I was talking about.
You're
last
welcome.
Week.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
And I definitely remember some nutmeg highs to BOC. Wow. And listening to that and being like, you know, if I weren't so pleasantly high right now, I could see ending things to this toe tapper. And then, of course, Will Ferrell came along with his famous Gotta Have More Cowbell sketch. And if someone found you to Don't Fear the Reaper at that point, you would have looked like a ridiculous ass.
All right, man. Hey, I think you should check the YouTube for comments, see if anybody had any ideas. But we definitely got one on Twitter.
Okay. I don't know how to check our YouTubies.
All right. Look at that one.
Liz Denublia. I think I got her name right. It's very Italian. There's 14 vowels in there. I can't make fun of it because my name contains all five vowels in order. You can't beat that. All right, let's do. Can't live. Harry Nilsson.
Oh, man.
This is a real, like, builder. Like, this one really gets to a climax, as I recall. Like, it starts, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is some tender stuff right here.
No, I can't forget this evening, your face.
Again, well, only 3 minutes, 30 seconds. So I think you could time it, even though it's tenuous. But, yeah, you really want someone to open the door when you hit that big belted, I can't live! Because if they walk in here, you're just like, well, that ruined it. Like, you wish your ghost could be like, no, shut the goddamn door.
I'm not ready.
Yeah, come back in another 15 seconds. I'll be ready for my close-up bend, Emil. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I can only think of his jump in the fire. Or, yeah, jump in the fire from Goodfellas when I hear Nilsson. This is a good one, though. God, now I really am going to kill myself. This one is blindsided me.
When do we do the disclaimer about talking to a professional?
Oh, because
if you're
people,
listening, yeah.
This would be amazing if people killed themselves en masse to this episode.
Before we got
you're terrible.
Before
you're
you
worst.
Got to the...
Why am I the worst? I want to know I have listeners, God damn it. Is that so bad?
But you're going to lose them if they kill themselves in your episode.
Oh, my God. You make a good point.
No, okay. Keep listening.
This is the ballsy point. He definitely had like two different looks. I'm not the biggest Nilsson guy. Liz, by the way, great suggestion. He's got two looks. Like, one is almost like a young James Cameron, minus the facial hair, just a country waif, a country squire. And then he also looks like a filthy cabbie from the mid-70s before every cabbie looked like Shahir Hussam.
You're such a... I'm telling Shahir to listen to this episode. I'm just telling you right now. Like,
what?
This is... I don't know if he's been listening lately, but I'm sure as hell making sure he's getting this episode, man.
I'm not saying anything bad about Shahir Hussam other than as a small child, he spat upon the flag that men had died for.
Say it again. Say it again.
He spat on the flag. Shahir Hussam spat on the American flag.
You're goddamn right. I ordered that code red.
And then he played it like an accordion with the spit in the middle. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my God.
What's so wrong about that? Men have died to have that flag spat on. That's all I'm saying. Oh my God. I can't think of how many men died on Hamburger Hill thinking, I hope this buys a young Bangladeshi boy the freedom to spit on the stars.
I think Papa John's just dropped out of sponsorship.
Yeah. We lost. I will never get over, by the way, that Papa John's has that German last name of his. Like, you think, give me a Whoppy last name. I'm sorry. Just just Dago it up for me if you're going to be selling pizza. Isn't his name like John
really?
Schottenheimer or something like that?
But come on, man. It's just, it's like a slight upgrade on Pizza Hut. Nobody ever pretended like Pizza Hut's Italian. Come on, man.
You mean it's not short for like Huttiano? I don't know. He goes by an actual name. Like, I want an Italian CEO for my stupid pizza company. Like, they had the damn decency to put Chef Boyardee on a can. Do the pizza equivalent of that. Sorry, now I'm just watching this. We're cycling through more Harry Nilsson videos.
That's weird. You got to stop that, man. Come on.
Why?
Come on, son.
I have to listen to Walk of Life again?
ruined it.
Yeah. I guess that is the end of the episode. I can't think of anything else. I want to get out of here before 9:55 for once. Dead silence?
Yeah.
Dead silence.
We're waiting for you because we're confused if this is actually the end or not.
It can be unless you have literally anything you want to talk about. I mean, we premeditated a bit for once. We semi-executed that bit for once. This is a lot of
I think we nailed it.
Yeah, we could go out on a high note here. All right, so let's do the outro music. There you go. Upbeat Street Fighter music. No one's killing themselves to this. E Honda making that peace sign at the end. I'm seeing that.
And by the way, go to thepromptmag.com. We ranked the Street Fighter 2 characters we'd most like to have sex with.
You know, I saw that, and I wanted to spit on your site like an American flag because... I was hurt. I wasn't included in that. Like, if you think I can't do... And by the way, did you do the Super Street Fighter characters?
No, we had to keep it to a manageable list.
Of the 12 Championship Edition characters slash Turbo Edition.
Yeah, Turbo Edition. That's what I call it. Yeah. The one for, like, Sega and SNES.
Super Street Fighter was also released for those, but not Super Turbo. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you can get in the next one. This is a reoccurring feature we're going to have.
Is it?
The F list, yeah.
Well, how about you reoccurringly tweet me when something speaks to a game that defined my goddamn childhood, Joshua?
We will do that.
Son of a bitch. Thank you. Josh, please promote your site again. It's a great site.
Yeah, thepromptmag.com, thepromptmag. I think it's at thepromptmag on Twitter. Get involved or just read it. Tweet at us. We're on Facebook. We're on all the things. Thepromptmag. That's us.
Prompt. And give the Twitter handle for you and your lovely wife as well.
I am at Josh Bard. Pretty simple. And she is at Klain, KELAINE. She's the editor-in-chief. All things run through her.
And she's a runner. So it's a delicious pun. Howard.
Nailed it.
I got nothing to promote this week. I'll let you know if I ever do anything professionally. How about
all right.
That?
If you ever... If you ever part with your child via a kite in a windstorm, they're going to know. They're going to know now.
Attribution for you, absolutely. I will do that in court.
I blew up your spot. All right. I'm John Papa Giorgio in papasbasement.com show website. Find us on iTunes. Find us on Stitcher. Look up Papa's Basement there. Not the inn. That'll throw off everything, you goddamn fool. YouTube.com/papasbasement. PAPA. No, POPPA. PAPPA. None of that business. And I think we're...
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me. I don't love nobody.
He said penis.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.